Good morning. Will you please rise in body or spirit as you are able to join me in the call to worship? Come, all of you who have heavy burdens, and Christ will give you rest. Let our hearts be refreshed and renewed this day. If you remain standing, our hymn this morning is number 485, To God Be the Glory. We confess who we are. To confess our inability to fulfill God's law is a gift from God, which leads us to our reconciliation with the one who created us in love and always hopes for our return home. Let us therefore speak aloud of our brokenness and ask God's forgiveness. Almighty God, you loved us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walked away from our neighbors in need, and wrapped in our own concerns, we condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us to admit our sin, that you come to us in mercy,
we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer.
Friends, God hears our pleas for forgiveness and invites our return. The psalmist reminds us that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are failing and raises up all who are bowed down. Only the Lord God in Christ can judge our hearts, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life is begun. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please share the peace with all you meet, beginning with those around you.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and lead us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Our reading this morning is found in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. And I believe it's on page 155 in the New Testament. 157. Thank you. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want and agree that the law is good, but in fact it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if you do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law is at war within the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
To come up and bring your Bible with you, please. Pretty please, with the cherry. Thank you. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood be
I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Kathy. It's good to hear the, what do you call that? What do you call it?
The keyboard?
The keyboard. You just call it a keyboard? There's no special name? Okay. It's a keyboard. Well, it's good to hear it. As well as voices and good stuff, good words, good meaning. I am okay. I don't want you all to fret just because I'm tired. It's just because I've been so way crazy busy. But it's also because I was up until 2:47 a.m. rewriting this sermon, because I just looked at it yesterday and I'm like, this is not what God wants me to speak on. So I rewrote it. And I also decided, God urged my heart to begin the reading today in Matthew 11, but we're going to begin at chapter 11, but we're going to begin at verse 12, for those of you reading along. And what we're hearing about is Jesus' response to some of the things John the Baptist has been questioning him about from prison, okay? So it begins. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And going on to verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, a few years ago, a new Bible was released. Well, it really wasn't a Bible. It's more of a paraphrase, and in that, it's really a very strange thing. The author named the book The Twible. It's written for those who tweet. You know, tweet plus Bible equals Twible. Whatever. Now, for those of us who are not totally savvy about technology, to tweet is to text your take on a topic with all the world in 140 characters or less. And when you know that a character is a letter, a space, or a punctuation mark, a message of 140 of them is an awfully short message. So according to this new book, Matthew 11 reads like this. J.C., Jesus Christ, and J.N. Bapp, John the Baptist, are chided for not joining the crowd's reindeer games. J.N. Bapp's too pious, and J.C.'s not pious enough. They just can't win. That's it. That is Matthew 11. If you look at the early portion of this reading, that tweet is spot on. People did point at John's extreme behaviors as over-the-top piety. All this eating locusts and honey and wearing just a loincloth of camel's hair was just a bit much. And they also chided Jesus for dining with the less than honorable, those shady tax collectors and the poor. Jesus was an affront to God's sense of dignity, they thought. God surely couldn't be in favor of people like them, certainly not walk through life with them. But in her tweet about this chapter, the author left out the chapter's ending. And true, there are thousands more than 140 characters in chapter 11, and choices did have to be made, but the end is such a juicy mouthful of scripture. What might the tweet be for verses 25 through 30? Perhaps it would start, babies / infants are in, church leaders are out. That is what Jesus is saying, isn't it? Like Jesus' own ministry, Matthew's gospel was for people who were Jews but who weren't highly trained rabbis and priests. They weren't the leaders. His words were written for ordinary folks who hardly knew Jesus' name. And at first, we hear how Jesus reminded those he met that the peoples of the world were focused on worldly things, not the things of God. Jesus basically says that God's desire and direction for people has been as clear as the voices of children inviting listeners to dance or to mourn. But the people of Israel as a whole have failed to understand this invitation as God's invitation. They've been acting violently. And they failed to understand John the Baptist and Jesus himself. Matthew is asking his readers to listen to Jesus' words, which clearly indicate his message is not for the folks who think they know all there is to know about God or have all the answers or all the power and money. Instead, Jesus' words are for people who might listen to him, those who are naive, innocent, and those who have nothing left to lose. But somehow, they are the ones who best understand God's ways. In other words, they are the ordinary little ones of the world. Jesus wanted to help these babies, these infants, feel God's love for them. Jesus even thanks God for sending him to the least of these rather than to feast with the high and the mighty. He wanted these forgotten souls to know that God was for them and was offering them a precious gift. Through their childlike faith, they had been given greater ability to grasp a deeper understanding of God, to become closer to God than those leaders. It's hard to say what problems these babies may have been facing, whether they were experiencing food insecurity or homelessness or illness. Jesus wanted them to know they were so valued by God that he was there with them to show them more about God's love. In fact, he was there to help relieve their burdens and woes by sharing hardship with them while teaching them God's wonders. Yeah, that is nice. But unless Jesus is paying the rent, how does that really help someone who is totally down and out? Sometimes just being with someone who is suffering helps them feel less anguish and more hopeful. Being with them doesn't mean talking or joking or trying to turn their gray day into blue skies. It means it's life-giving, just being present with them. Like God is present to us when we are in our lowest moments. Many of us find it nerve-wracking to be around folks at soup kitchens. We think, they aren't like us. What should I say to them? Or perhaps, God forbid, I should ever need to come to this place for a meal. Or maybe even, this is so embarrassing for them. More often than not, we avoid going to those places because we worry about what we should or should not do or say. We're also usually uncomfortable being around someone who is actively dying. The what I do and say to them question comes up then too. Should I try to lighten the moment or be serious? I really don't know what to do. So maybe I should just not go for a visit. These are tough and valid questions, my friends. But Jesus believed it was vital that he simply be present with people who are in deep need, even though he may not say little more than a hello. It's kind of like the school lunch table, usually in middle school. Just sitting with the outcast kid can make a difference in his day and in his life. He feels seen. He feels known. Sharing hardships with someone provides simple human comfort, as well as the reminder that God is with them even in their darkest times. But in this story, Jesus goes beyond being with a person who is going through significant emotional or spiritual trauma. He tells the infants, God has led them to this. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. Jesus is suggesting people work through whatever problems they face together with him. But does doing so make every challenge easy? You may have noticed the two oxen on your bulletin. Even though they are yoked together working as a pair, they still strain to pull a single blade through a rocky field. Attending to someone's problems definitely will put a strain on us, especially if that someone's burdens are extremely heavy. And like folks in homeless shelters and soup kitchen lines, Matthew's first readers faced almost insurmountable challenges. And they would have really liked it if God would simply take away the problems they struggled with, eliminate the challenges they faced, and vanquish their opponents. In short, save them from all the pain and problems life threw at them. And I suspect that we would like God to do the same for us, as well as for the homeless or the sick or the dying, wouldn't we? But instead of making troubles vanish, here in this passage, Jesus suggests people tie themselves to him and learn from him. He wants people who can hear his voice to gather strength from him so they can weather the turmoil of life. He's asking them to join with him in relationship, so that together they can discern ways in which to trudge out of life's swamps. And you know that this suggestion is for all who follow Christ, not just those gathered together that day, right? Yeah, it goes against the grain of our usual way of doing things, supporting each other kind of thing. Not only have the values of self-sufficiency and self-expression been instilled in us, we're told that if we are to succeed in life, we must put our own needs first. You know, be true to ourselves. Pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. There can be great value in that kind of authenticity. Owning your beliefs, emotions, actions, gives a person confidence to face incredible challenges. And Jesus absolutely had that kind of self-confidence, but his wasn't self-centered. It was based on his understanding of what God wanted for people, that we care for one another in all ways and in all times. Remember, Jesus had compassion for the crowds because they looked like lost sheep. We heard it just a couple weeks ago. And he invited his listeners to offer a cup of cold water to those who are in need. Jesus focused on the people around him, not himself. Being in real relationship, sharing hardships in partnership, means being willing to feed or heal or pray for others when they need us. It means taking on Jesus' yoke, to be acting in Jesus' place. Engaging in relationships, let alone standing in relationship with others, is not easy work. But as we undertake the kind of discipleship that this kind of relationship represents, we discover God in Jesus is truly present with us, waiting for us, encouraging us, forgiving us, bearing us up. And that relationship is what makes Jesus' burden light, his yoke not just easy, but joyful. Jesus isn't telling his listeners to take on more work. He's inviting us to share the burden of life with an incredible master who shows us new and helpful ways to bear up when our own burdens become overwhelming, and in so doing, make room for the burdens of the other people in our lives so that everyone can be raised up to more hopeful lives. Jesus' words here are an invitation to better life. A way of life that by engaging others in relationships of openness and kindness and care leads to deeper levels of righteousness than if we merely focused on our own needs. It brings us closer to God. The people who had become locked into placing their own happiness and needs ahead of everyone else's here in this pericope probably could not hear the wisdom of this idea of sharing burdens in a yoke together. But newcomers to faith in Jesus, the ones to whom Matthew wrote, could take up his yoke. And I believe that longtime believers whose hearts have been softened by Jesus' teachings and whose ears have been opened so they can listen will not just hear these words, but will also respond to them. Friends, in yoking ourselves side by side to Jesus, and with all those who do likewise, we'll find that the shared weight of everyone's burdens actually becomes lighter, less troublesome. You see, when we turn away from ourselves to support someone else, that's when we give away our lives for them. That's when we will find our lives in Christ. At 13 characters, babies are in. Doesn't really speak the truth of this chapter, does it? Maybe Matthew 11's 140-character tweet could be like this. Side by side with JC, disciples, and just plain folks, life loads become lighter. Relationships grow. Love wins. Surprise! God is in our midst. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 527, Near to the Heart of God.
Thank you.
Please join me in our affirmation of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed that can be found on page 14. I'm going to be reading the traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Being near to the heart of God happens most effectively when we come into prayer. So let us lift our hearts to God as we bow our heads. O holy God, we were yours before we drew breath, and still we will be yours when the pulse of life ceases. In every fragile, reckless moment, we belong to you. Be the days filled with rain or sun, heat or freezing cold, you walk with us, and you walk with our loved ones who give us joy as well as confusion sometimes, but whom we are so ever grateful for. We thank you, too, for the love of our parents who gave us life. May the love we have received spill gratitude from our hearts. And may the wounds we carry open our hearts to the needs of others. May we recognize in your mercy the faithfulness that judges and redeems every human bond. We lift to you now all that seems irreconcilable. Arguments in our families, difficulties in our schools and workplaces, fractures in our nation, and fractures in your body, the church. We pray, too, that you will heal the brokenness of this world. We pray for those we identify as leaders in every sphere of life. We pray for our president and for all whose decisions weigh heavily on others. Even so, Lord, give us the courage to name ourselves as those whose responsibility is great. Teach us to act, to tend the world you love, to sow more than we reap, to heal more than we wound, to make room for others as you made room for us. Redeeming God, we ask that you bless those who are homeless, who are not sure where their next meal will come from, whose utility bills are being shut off, who are sick, who are weak, who are confused, who are hateful, and who are desolate and needing your love to give them hope. We ask that you Stake your claim upon us now, O Lord. Until we hear your gospel echo in each stranger's story and see your image reflected on every wounded face. For we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who unsettles our lives for the sake of your love and who taught us to come close to you by praying to you in these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 561, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Said, come to me, all you who are weary. Put on my yoke, and I will give you rest. And he meant it for each and every one of us. But he also meant that we should share the burdens of being in yoke with Jesus and all others who have burdens that they are carrying with them, so that all of us can walk through life with a lighter load. And we can do that by feeding the hungry or sitting with someone who is sick. Just silently sit. Or any of a number of different ways to help others, to turn from our self-interests and to the interests of God. So I invite you to do this in the coming weeks
And I invite you to go knowing that you are in yoke with the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the community that is the entire Holy Spirit who goes with you each step of the way of your life's faith journey. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
God be with you.